Well, good morning. I'm Craig Carter, and today we're introducing a new sermon series that is entitled, What on Earth Am I Here For? It's based on Pastor Rick Warren's best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And last Sunday morning on Easter, we observed that there's more to life than simply existing. Really experiencing life is more than just being alive. And if you and I are going to experience the abundant, the eternal life that is ours in Christ Jesus, well, then we have to look to God because he's the one who made us in the first place, and he created us with several reasons in mind. And what we're going to do over the next 6 weeks is look at what some of those purposes are for which God created us. But more than a sermon series, it's going to be a spiritual journey. And so I want to invite you not just to either watch us online or to come to worship and listen to the messages each Sunday morning. I want to encourage you to fully participate. And you can do that by reading a chapter of the book every day. And we're making those available to everybody today, one per household, free of charge. We think the book is that valuable that we want to make that investment in you and in your family. But also you can participate in some online or in-person discussion groups that we'll talk about a little bit later. And in through this endeavor, we hope to answer this question, what on earth am I here for? In my mind, one of the most valuable inventions in recent years is caller ID. Okay? Some of you remember a time when there wasn't caller ID, and when the phone rang, you picked it up and you answered it, lest you miss an important phone call. But oftentimes, answering the phone brought some regrets, right? Because you discovered that it was a telemarketer on the other end or some in-laws that you had been trying to avoid. And then somebody came up with this marvelous invention called caller ID. And now you can see where the call's coming from, the number, sometimes even the name of the person calling, and you can decide whether or not you want to take the call or let it go to voicemail. Now, of course, the downside of that is that if you're the one making the call, you give the person on the other end that option of not taking the call. And that seems like that's oftentimes the case when I'm calling, especially one of you in the church. Now, I think the reason for that, at least in my mind, is because I still have a 334 number from my days when I lived in Alabama, and you just don't want to answer the phone thinking it's an Alabama robocall. But I have a feeling, just as there's an app for telemarketers, that you know there is an app that you can identify those telemarketing calls, I think there's an app for pastors. And so when Chris or Terry or Jim or I are calling, you just immediately decline and let it go to voicemail. But nonetheless, imagine this. Your phone buzzes. You look down at it. It says the call is coming from heaven, and the caller is God. How would you respond to that? Is that a call that you would take? I think we all would, right? We'd answer the call. And the truth is, God has already called you, and he's called me. We like to quote from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. You know that familiar verse, right? We know that in all things God works for the good. And we understand that principle, right? That in everything and in anything, in all situations, God is constantly at work trying to bring out the highest possible good. But we oftentimes neglect the second half of that verse. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. According to the Apostle Paul, everyone has been called by God, and it's for the Lord's purposes. If you'll look at Scripture, you'll discover that from beginning to end, it is the story of God calling his people. He called Noah to build an ark. God then called Abraham to form a great nation. God called Moses to deliver his people. God called Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He called prophets, people like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, to speak his message. And then in the New Testament, through his son Jesus Christ, God called Peter, Paul, and Mary to be his followers. And if you just chuckled at that, you're my age and know what it was like before caller ID came along, okay? And if you didn't get that, just rewind it and you'll get it, okay? The Bible is God's story of calling his people. And there's a call for you and for me. And what we're going to do over these next 40 days or so is try to discern God's call on our lives so that we might find the real meaning, the real purpose for which we have been put on this planet. And so I hope you'll join us for that endeavor. Now, we're going to try and discover what on earth we're here for. You know, Rick Warren says that we have been created with five purposes in mind. Are you familiar with those? Okay. He says the five purposes for which you and I have been created is for worship, it's for fellowship, it's for discipleship, it's for ministry, and for evangelism or mission. And we're going to look at each one of those five purposes through the lens of a calling that God has called us to engage in these reasons for our existence. The reason we're using calling is because it's used more commonly in Scripture, that word, than purpose. Call or calling occurs at least 100 times in Scripture. And this morning, to kind of launch this series, and also I hope to inspire and motivate you to take this journey with us, I want us to look at what the Bible has to say about God's call or his calling. Now, we're not going to look at all 100 references. I'd love to do that, but you probably wouldn't. And so we're going to look at it in several categories of what we can understand and know about God's calling. Now, let me just say to you at the outset of this endeavor that my prayer for you is what Paul prayed for the Ephesians. And I've printed out this verse, and every morning before I do my daily readings, I'm going to be praying this prayer for each and every one of you. And here it is. My prayer is that light will flood your hearts and that you will understand the hope that was given to you when God called you. Then you will discover the glorious blessings that will be yours together with all of God's people. That is my hope, that is my prayer, that individually and collectively we will be able to understand God's calling on our lives. And because of that, we will then be able to discover his glorious blessings. Unless you and I fully understand God's call, we're likely going to miss out on many, if not all, of his blessings. So, what can we understand about God's call? Well, I've listed on your outline in your worship guide five principles. And Neil mentioned earlier that we're now making tear-off tabs available. We feel like we've reached a point in this COVID pandemic that we can share and pass out pens, and those are located at the back of the worship center. Most of you have one with you. But also because of that, I'm reinstituting what I love, which is fill-in-the-blank outlines. So I don't know what you think about today, but this is a great day for Craig Carter, okay? So after 2.5 years of not being able to have fill in the blanks, so here we go, fill in the blanks, all right? Here's what we can understand about our calling. The first principle is this, that our calling is a gift from God. God, by his grace through Christ, has called you to become his people. Our calling is by God's grace. You know, we oftentimes think, if I could just clean up my act, if I could kind of get it all together, then maybe God will love me and accept me and even use me. You know what? That's not the way it works. Our relationship with God from beginning to end is all about grace. It is a gift. Nothing that we deserve, nothing that we earn, nothing that we coerce God into giving us. It's a gift. It's grace. You know what that word grace means, right? It's undeserved kindness. It's unmerited favor. It's not what we deserve. It's what we don't deserve. God chooses to treat us with kindness. He chooses to call us to be his people. Here's the way Paul describes it in his letter to his young friend Timothy. He has saved us. He has called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Our calling is a part of our salvation. God has called us into a relationship with himself. He saved us, but then he's taken us beyond that. He calls us to live a holy life that we just talked about in our recent sermon series. And then beyond that, he has a purpose for your life and for mine. You know, oftentimes we talk about being a Christian in terms of what we do. That our faith in Christ, our confession of Jesus as Savior, has made us a Christian. And that's a part of it. We rightly sing songs like, I have decided to follow Jesus. That's a part of it, but that's a small part. The big part is what God in Christ has already done for us. I've heard it put this way. We spell Christianity do, D-O. God spells it done. It's what Christ has already done. He has already called you. He's already called me, not because of anything we deserve, but because of his goodness and grace. I call myself a Christian. I also call myself a Carter. Okay? How did I get that name? Did I talk my parents into it? Did I deem myself worthy of being a part of the Carter clan from southwestern Missouri? No. It's not what I have done. It's not what I did. Not what I will ever do. It's because of what my parents have already done and how they chose to relate to me. And in the same way, God has called us, and it's a gift of his grace. Now, second thing we can learn about our calling from Scripture is that it's the reason God created us in the first place. For we are God's handiwork, Paul says. Other translations say we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God says through the prophet Jeremiah, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. Let me just make a couple observations about those two verses. The first one is this. We are God's handiwork, his workmanship. Okay? The Greek word is poema. You hear an English word there? Poema? It's poem. We get our English word poem. What Paul is saying is that we are a work of art. We are God's poem. Some translations take it so far as to say, we are God's masterpiece. You feel like a masterpiece? Most of us don't, right? I mean, most of us kind of feel like a piece of junk. Junk art, at worst. And at best, we're kind of, you know, velvet art that's sold by the roadside. You know, those dogs playing cards or something. Now, that's kind of the work of art we feel like, right? Okay, nothing of great value. But no, you and I are God's masterpiece, created in Christ. And for what reason? To do good works. Just to rewind and take you back to last Sunday morning, you and I were created not to be consumers, not to get all we can out of this world, but to be contributors, to give all that we can. And God has created us. God has called us to make a positive difference in this world. And that choice that he made, that calling on our lives, started before we took our first breath. Each week we're going to have a memory verse. It's one of the ways that we're going to try and learn and apply these principles. I know you're all excited about that, memorizing Scripture, but it's a very useful way to fulfill what the psalmist says, is hiding God's word in our heart. This week's memory verse that I'm going to ask you to try and memorize over the next 7 days is real simple. It's from Isaiah chapter 44, verse 2. God says, I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. How amazing is that? That even before we were born, we were in God's care. He already had plans for us. He already had a purpose in mind. I love what Rick Warren says on this subject. He says that you and I are not accidents. Okay? You and I and nobody else on the faces, we are not accidents. He goes on to say, that there are accidental parents, but there's no accidental babies. Okay? There's no accidental children. There's illegitimate moms and dads. We probably know some of them that really aren't legitimate, authentic moms and dads. But there are no illegitimate children. There are unplanned pregnancies, but there's no unpurposed people. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And He's created us to do the good works that He has for us. And some of you this morning need to just, you need to hear this more than anything else I'll say. You've had folks maybe for years, if not decades, saying you're worthless, you're no good, I don't even know what you're around for. And I'm just telling you, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. The truth from heaven, from God's word, is that God created you for a reason. You're not an accident. And God created us. We were created by God, but we were also created for God. Listen to what Paul says to the Colossians. Everything was created through Him and for Him. If everything was created by God, that includes you and me, right? If everything was created for God, that includes you and me. Now, we live in a society that says, hey, if you want to find real meaning and purpose in life, just grab for all the gusto. Find out what really brings you great pleasure, what brings you great satisfaction, and then you will be fulfilled. Not the truth. Because you and I were created not just by God, but for God. Not for my pleasure and your pleasure, but for His pleasure. Not for our plans and purposes to be fulfilled, but for His plans and purposes to be fulfilled. How many of you have not read the book, Purpose Driven Life? How many of you have not read it? Okay, so it looks like about half and half. So it's going to be a great refresher course for us. And I'll tell you, I've read the book numerous times, and every time I read it, it has more meaning. So I hope you'll read it again. But for you that haven't read it, here's a spoiler alert. I believe that Rick Warren's book, this is no hyperbole, I believe it's got the greatest first line in the history of publishing. It's the greatest first line. Here's what it is when you read it tomorrow. It's not about you. Okay? It's not about you. You know why it's not about you? Because it's all about me. It's all about Craig. My edition actually says it's all about Craig. Okay? No, it doesn't. It's not about you. It's not about me. Why? Because it's all about God. God created us for His purpose and His pleasure. Now, we can have plans, we can have ambitions, but unless they align with God's plans and ambitions for our lives, we'll never find real purpose and real meaning. Okay? Now, third principle. Our sins and our mistakes don't change our calling. I thought somebody at that point might say, praise the Lord or something for that. We all could say that, right? That our sins and our mistakes don't change our calling. It doesn't matter how much we have messed up our life. It doesn't matter how much other people have messed up our life. That doesn't change anything. God created us. God chose us. God has called us. And that settles it. Your sins and mistakes, my sins and mistakes, don't change our calling. And the classic example of that is a guy named Saul of Tarsus. Ever heard of him? Read his story in the book of Acts. Heard him once described as a crude dude in a rude mood. Okay? He was not a nice guy. Okay? Far from it. And yet God called him to be an apostle. To proclaim has got to become the greatest preacher outside of Jesus that's ever walked the face of the earth. And listen to what Paul says later. His name Saul has changed to Paul. His life is so transformed by the grace of God. Look at what he says about that calling as he looks at it in retrospect. By calling me into His service, Jesus has judged me trustworthy. Even though I used to be a blasphemer and a persecutor, I mean, I had a lot of sins, a lot of mistakes. Mercy was shown me because while I lacked faith, I acted in ignorance. I don't know about you, but I can identify with that last line. especially that last phrase, because there's been a big part of my life where I lacked faith, and I definitely acted in ignorance. Hey, during my growing up years, and even after I was old enough to know better, I acted ignorantly on a number of occasions. I did some really stupid things. I made some really poor choices. But that did not disqualify me from God's calling on my life. Looking back in retrospect, I realized that God has taken everything in my life, the good, the bad, and even the ugly, and used it for His purpose. It's all part of my calling. Same is true for you. That's what redemption is all about. God has redeemed it. He wants to take the good, the bad, and the ugly and use it for His purpose. It's part of His calling on your life and on mine. You know, as I look back over my life, I can now clearly see that from a very young age, God's call was on my life, now, even to go into ministry. But I resisted it. And during my teenage years, college years, young adult years, I lived according to a scriptural principle. It was pulled out of context, but I lived according to it. Scripture says, eat, drink, and be merry. And that's exactly what I did, with the emphasis on the latter two activities. Okay? And then I decided, well, I know what will bring meaning to my life. It's success. And I measured that as the world does, by power and prestige and by the accumulation of possessions. And then somewhere along the way, I met this fellow that we talked about last week, the risen Christ, who is still alive, who is still at work. And I found real significance. And I realized that God wanted to take all those things, all the sins, all the mistakes from the past, and use them for His benefit. And so I look back over my life. Most of you know I spent 10 years in the military. And I could say, well, you know, gosh, if I had just listened to God, I would have had another decade in ministry. But no, God used that to help me become who I am today and has used all of those experiences to fulfill my calling. Now, for me personally, God's call on my life and my career has matched up. But that's not always the case. Okay? Y'all follow this? God's call is on my life. Part of that call is to be the pastor of a local church. But God's calling is much bigger than being a pastor. That's just a fraction of it. God's real call in my life is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so even if you're not called to a career in ministry, a pastor, a missionary, a children's work church, or a children's director, or a worship leader, God's call still is there. And He wants to take everything, even your sins and your mistakes, redeem them and use them for His eternal purposes. I've heard Rick Warren say it a dozen times, if I've heard him say it once, and it's this: God doesn't have a plan B for my life. Can you say that with me? God doesn't have a plan B for my life. Now, some of our plan A's have got a lot of twists and turns, and they're long drawn out affairs, okay? But God doesn't have a plan B. Everything's part of plan A. It's all part of His calling. It's all part of His purpose for your life and for mine. And our sins and mistakes don't change it. And then fourthly, our calling connects us to others. We are all one body. We have the same spirit. We have all been called to the same glorious future hope. Just want to kind of replow some ground that we covered last Sunday. That you and I were not created to live in isolation. We were made to be part of a community. And community and calling go hand in hand. Okay? You need me. I need you. We all need one another. And how important is that community that we're a part of? Well, Paul says it's like being part of a body. We are one body. What do we know about a body? Well, it consists of a lot of individual parts, but those individual parts find meaning, they find purpose. How? Only connected to the whole. Let's think of it this way. You're driving around Lynn Haven, and you go down near Kensaw Park, and you see a foot laying by the side of the road. Okay? I probably wouldn't keep driving at that point, but let's say you keep driving. And you get over there in the Derby Woods, and there's a spleen off the side of the road. I don't even know what a spleen looks like, but you might. And so you see a spleen, and then you go off North Shore, and there's an arm laying over there. And then you come over to Hawk's Landing, and there's a lung on the side of the road. Well, what would you make of all that? I mean, it's pretty gross, right? And how useful would those body parts be? Not at all. But you put them all together, and it becomes a beautiful creation and can be used in some marvelous ways. And I just want to suggest to you that you and I, apart from the body of Christ, apart from the church, from a community of faith, we are just as grotesque and just as useless. But together we form something wonderful and we fulfill our calling. Listen to the way the writer of Hebrews puts it. He says, brothers and sisters, you are holy partners in a heavenly calling. We're all partners. We're in this together. You know, because of the individualism, because of the independence that's taught by our American culture, we kind of tend towards a brand of Christianity that makes us Lone Ranger Christians, right? That's just me and God, okay? Well, I just want to remind you, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, okay? We need one another. And you're not going to fulfill your calling, I'm not going to fulfill mine, unless we are connected with each other. And then finally, God empowers us to live out our calling. He empowers us to live out our calling. God never calls us to any task that he doesn't equip us to perform. I've seen it on some little signs that people have sitting on their shelves or hanging on their wall. God doesn't call the prepared. He prepares the called. Okay? No matter what God calls us to do, no matter where he leads us, he's always going to give us the power to succeed. That's why when we read things in Scripture that are just mind-boggling to us, like, you must be holy even as I'm holy, and we say, well, could never do that. Well, right, you could never do that. But God will give you the power to be holy even as he is holy. And so given this fact that God's going to equip us and prepare us and empower us, well, what are we to do about it? Well, we're just to get on with the life that he's called us to live. I've said it before, one of my favorite movies is The Shawshank Redemption. And I don't think a week goes by that it's not somewhere on TV. So if I'm flipping channels and I see it, I almost always will pause and watch it for a few minutes because I can pick up anywhere because I know the whole movie from beginning to end, but I always enjoy it. And just about a week or so ago, I saw a part of it. It was towards the end of the movie. Red has gotten his release from prison. He's played by Morgan Freeman. He spent over 50 years incarcerated. He's not sure he's going to be able to make it on his own out there on the outside. But then he remembers some words that his friend Andy Dufresne had told him years before. He said, you either get busy living or you get busy dying. And using the language of the last two Sundays, you either get busy lifing, doing life as God intends it, or you get busy dying. And that's precisely what the Apostle Paul said on several occasions. I just want to show you these verses. And notice the connection between life, real life, and God's call. I urge you to live the life to which God has called you. This is why we always pray for you, asking God to help you live the kind of life he called you to live. We pray that with his power, God will help you do the good things you want and perform the works that come from your faith. Live the kind of life that pleases God, who calls you to share in his own kingdom and glory. Do you see what the call of God is all about? That the call is not to accomplish some task. It's a call to live a certain lifestyle. And it's my hope and my prayer that over the next 40 days, you and I are going to learn how to live the life to which God has called us. Now, as we start on this journey, I just want to ask your commitment and participation in a few ways. And it's through something that Rick Warren shares. He says these are some good guidelines to follow. And it's a little acrostic that spells the word learn, okay? And as we go through the study, if you don't know already, you'll find out why Craig loves Rick Warren so much. He loves alliterations and acrostics and 3 points and 5 points and et cetera. But here it is. It's in your sermon notes. Just keep this in mind. Here's the learn. The first one is listen. Listen to God's word every day. And we're going to listen with our eyes. We're going to do it by reading both scripture, but also reading the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. If you want, you can listen, get it on audiobook. That's one option. But again, we think this is so valuable that we're making a copy available to every household free of charge. And if by chance, you know, you can't get along with everybody in your household and don't like sharing things, you can either go online, go to a local bookstore, get an extra copy, or if we have any extras left over, everybody gets one today, you're welcome to those extra copies. We would ask if you take an extra copy, we'd ask for a suggested donation of $10. Even for your copy, again, it's free, but if you want to make a donation, that money is going to go to buy additional copies. And what we hope to do is for the foreseeable future, every newcomer that comes through the doors of the Lynn Haven United Methodist Church, we're going to give them a copy of this book because we think it's that important and that valuable for them to learn about purpose, meaning, about life itself. Okay? And so also, if you're worshiping with us online and want a copy of that book, if you'll just say that in the comment section, we'll do the best we can to get you a copy, either by saving you one here, you can stop by and get, or we'll bring it to you, or we will have one mailed to you. We'll figure that out. Just put that in the comment section. Let me just say one thing. As you read the book, I saw many of you have already read the book. This new edition has some neat helps in it. And one of them is that on every chapter, there's a QR code that you can just hit with your camera phone, and it will take you to a link that gives you about a 2 or 3 minute video overview of each day's readings from Rick Warren. And there's also then audio teaching. And it's anywhere from 45 minutes to more than an hour of additional teaching on that same subject that you're reading about each day. And so this is a valuable resource that we have. And in addition to the original book, there's 2 extra chapters. That's really the only other thing that's different. We're asking you to read 1 chapter a day for 40 days. Actually, 42 days if you'll read those extra chapters. And it's 6 to 8 pages. Will take you 15 to 20 minutes to read. It's loaded with scripture. So listen to God's word every day by reading the book. Enlist in a small group. And one of the best ways you can do that is on Wednesday nights. We're going to take our Wednesday night pastor's Bible study. We're going to be showing a 20-25 minute video by Rick Warren that supplements what you're hearing on Sunday morning and what you're reading throughout the week. And so after Terry and I mess everything up on Sundays, Rick Warren will pick up the pieces and make it understandable if you'll come back on Wednesday night. We're also making those same videos available online. The first one's going to be out there sometime today. You'll find it. It'll be on our YouTube channel. And so you can either watch it at home, you can watch it with your small group, you can form a small group of folks, but we'd love for you to come to the church on Wednesday nights. We got plenty of room for everyone to space out around tables in the community room. We'll watch the video, and then we will have some table discussion groups from 6:15 to 7:15 over the next 6 Wednesday nights. Then attend worship regular. Can you just commit that you're going to be here in worship over the next 6 weeks, or you're going to watch online, that you're somehow going to join us for these messages each week? And then reinforce by memorizing a verse each week. There's incredible value in memorizing scripture, that we have it with us all the time. I'm in a small discipleship program with a young man in our congregation, and we're memorizing scripture. And it's not something we typically do, but man, it's such a valuable tool. And so every week we're going to give you a memory verse. You saw the one this week from Isaiah 44:2. Asterisk that in your worship guide and commit it to memory. You'll see it again with a study guide that's published as a part of the supplemental video teaching. And then finally, just now do it. Okay? As Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. At some point, we just got to do it. Okay? Now, I am convinced that if we'll do our part, which are these things, God will do His. And I think He's going to meet us in a grand and glorious fashion. And I'll just tell you, as your pastor, I am really excited how this is going to benefit me personally, how it's going to benefit each one of you individually. But I can only imagine what this is going to do for our congregation and ultimately for our community. Let me just close with this thought from Rick Warren's book. He says that if you and I live for 70 years, that's about 25,550 days. Okay? So if we got 3 score and 10, we get 25,000 days plus. Now, looking around here, a few of you are already on borrowed time. Okay? So maybe, you know, and I'm getting close, okay? So let's take that maybe 80 years would get you 29,200 days. And if you're already there, well, take it, do the math, 90 years, 100 years, okay? But the fact is, as best I can tell, we're all still alive. We still got a pulse, okay? So we got at least a few hours or days left, okay? Some of us have a few. Some of us have a whole bunch. Some of us have decades left. What Rick Warren says is, doesn't it make sense, no matter how many days we got left, that we would just take 40 of those days to make sure we understand the very purpose for our existence, that we would understand what God's called us to do, what a difference those 40 days could make for all the rest, the other 400, the 4,000, the 40, the however many we have left on this planet. And you know that God does some of His best work in 40-day periods, right? Just ask Noah and Moses and the Israelites and Jesus, the disciples, David. So can you just think for a moment, what over the next 40 days might God do in your life and in mine, most importantly, in our life together? Okay? There's a call coming in. Phone buzzes. It's originating in heaven, and the caller is God. Are you going to answer? And if you do, you might just get the answer to this most important question, what on earth am I here for? Now, I mentioned earlier that I'm going to be praying a prayer for you every day from Ephesians chapter 1. I want to invite you to pray this prayer for one another every day. It's on the sermon notes page, so you can take that with you. We'll start publishing this other places. It's a paraphrase of Paul's prayer that makes it plural and all-encompassing for ourselves. And I just want to invite you as we close today that we pray this prayer together in unison. Will you pray this prayer with me out loud in unison? Our prayer is that light will flood our hearts and that we will understand the hope that was given to us when God called us. Then we will discover the glorious blessings that will be ours together with all of God's people. And all God's people said, amen.